Craig, thanks for sitting down with us here inside the Kirby Family Studio and SDPB's Sioux Falls Studio. We're going to talk a little bit about football and the coming championships. Where will you be? What games are you going to call?
I'll be a part of all seven games, the nine-man games. I get to be outside on the sideline talking to the coaches. And then for the 11-man games, I'll be in the booth with the play-by-play with Curtis Riggs, who's with the Riggs Football Academy. He's the coach of the Sioux Falls Storm. He's been with us now the last couple of years. So we'll have the 11-man games in the booth. And everyone's thinking, oh, here, it's outside this year because the dome in Vermilion is under renovation. And so they moved it to Brookings for 1 year. And, you know, first time ever, we get the championships outside. And people are wondering, people have probably watched the weather forecast more often this week than they have in a long time, because if their team is up in Brookings.
Right, but they play outside all year. It's not like
unless you're Vermilion, where you get all your home games there at the Dome. But.
Right. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been involved in high school football in South Dakota as a broadcaster?
Yeah. It's been almost 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has a lot changed?
Late 70s. You know, certainly back in the late 70s when I started, didn't have football playoffs. Didn't have the playoffs. The playoffs started when I left to go to Mankato for 5 years. And back in 81, then they started the football playoffs. You know, and since then, yeah, we've seen, of course, the number of classes increase. We've seen maybe a little bit of a slip of kids who play football in South Dakota.
Right.
But part of that is because they've added more sports. Soccer has been added. There's been other sports that have been added that they've taken that away. But for the most part, high school football is still strong in the state. People love their high school football.
What do you still get excited about for when it comes to championship time?
It's what is going to be the big play.
Oh.
What's going to be the big play? What is going to be the stand that sets the game apart from everybody else? You know, kids, they have so much emotion and excitement in games, and you love to see the excitement on the score. And then, unfortunately, sometimes you see the kids who are depressed because they have lost or something. But, you know, it's all part of the learning process as we go on in life. Sports does that, because you're not going to win everything you do. I know, Lori, you have a great day every day.
Every day ever goes away. It's a rainbow and sunshine day here out in the moment.
That's part of it, part of the education process.
Yeah, right. They do put so much of their heart and soul. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of for the senior players, too, so much is ending, you know, in their, you know, it's the last, every, you know, it's the last homecoming. It's the last, you know, first day of school. There's a lot of other emotions that come into that, too. So sometimes when they are so distraught at a loss, is there's layers to that you can kind of see happening, you know, across their faces as they process what's happened and what will come next for them. It might be the last time they ever play ball.
That is correct.
Yeah, you know, for many of them,
vast majority of kids, whether we're doing the soccer championships on SDPB1 or volleyball or the wrestling, basketball, football, you're right. That event may be the last time that they even perform in that sport.
All right, let's talk about some of these games that are coming up. Where do you want to begin?
Well, the first one would be Thursday night, first 11-man game. That would be Class 11A. And that's going to be Canton and Lenox. A couple of teams that weren't really on the radar at the beginning of the season, because this to me was the best class of the year because of the number of teams that could get to Brookings for the championships. Canton lost their first two games of the year, but they've won every game since. They're on fire. You know, they're making their fourth appearance in the Dome. They've got three titles. The last time was in 2013. So it's been a while. It's been a lot longer for Lenox. They haven't been there since 1982. What were you doing in 1982, Lori? And they have been on a roll, too. So it's the old black and blue bowl. These two teams get together every year. It's a great rivalry. It's been going on for almost 100 years. So here they are. They get to play each other up in Brookings for a state title.
So this is third and fourth seed. So what happened to one and two? Who did they get past to get here?
It was Del Rapids was the top seed, and they unfortunately had a couple of injuries late in the playoffs that got knocked out. And but Lenox has been, and Canton playing, that's what you do to get to the Dome. You play your best football at the end. That's what those two teams have done.
Tell me that game about with Lennox and defeating West Central. That's a close one.
You know, West Central scored with just a few seconds left, and so they had a chance to tie the game with an extra point, and it was missed. So it was 34-33. West Central did try an onside kick at the end, but Lennox was able to recover it and run the clock out. So some really excited. I loved Class 11A this year. That was fun.
Who are some of the athletes to watch?
Well, Canton has maybe the most exciting offensive player. It's Caden Verley. He's their place kicker. He's their punter. He's can be your quarterback. He can be your running back. I think he sells popcorn at halftime. He does everything. And so he's an exciting player. And that will be key for Lennox. Lennox will have to watch him throughout the whole game.
I think the SDPB crew might have been down in Canton today, so they've probably had a camera trained on him a
exciting
little bit.
Exciting player. Very exciting player.
All right, what's next?
And then, while things get rolling, then the first game on Friday would be Class 11AA, and that one would be Pierre and Brookings. Everyone knows about Pierre, a dominating team this year. It's their sixth appearance in the title game, their third year in a row. They won it last year and the year before. And this may be the best team they've ever had. The records they've had with offensive statistics, with rushing and touchdowns, it's a really good team. It is really good. And Brookings, they have only had one loss this year. And of course, it was to Brookings. That was back in early October.
It was to Pierre.
It was to Pierre, and it was 54-6 that day.
So what do they have to do to really overcome? How do they have to come into? Because now they're at their home field, too, for the state championships. That gives them a little bit of an advantage, yeah?
Pierre has a quarterback by the name of Garrett Stout, who can and run the ball, pass the ball. He's had kick returns for touchdowns. I mean, it's pretty simple to say. You stop him, you've got a chance.
Yeah.
And that will be certainly what Brookings will be trying to do on Friday at noon.
All right. Who's the coach at Pierre? Why is that such a successful program? What
Steve
are we seeing?
Steele took over after Jason Poppinga left. Jason Poppinga now is the head coach of O'Gorman. The last time O'Gorman was at the state finals was 2015, and that's when Coach Poppinga had Pierre at the dome the last time that Jason was there. Of course, they both lost that day, but Jason went to take on the O'Gorman program, and then Steve Steele came in, and they haven't missed a spot. It's a great program up there. They got a lot of kids out for football, and so they're doing great up there. The Governor's a really good team this year.
Any other standout athletes to watch for in that AA lineup?
That one there is certainly with Brookings. Defense is going to be key, the key for them. They've got to stop that big offensive. And Pierre's offensive line is really big, so that's a big challenge.
Like how big for Brookings? For high school? Yeah.
We're talking, you know, your guards and tackles and centers are right around 260 to 280.
Wow.
When you see the difference, you go into some of the 9-man divisions, you'll have 170-pound weakling over there like me on playing center, where you know the bigger the schools you get, you know, you got more kids, you get typically bigger kids, but Brookings, they're Pierre's impressive, very impressive.
All right, let's talk about Friday, 3:30, 11B.
That is Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan, and Winner, and two of the great all-time coaches go up against each other. Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan, and Jeff Van Leur, they have been to the title many, many times. Emory Ethan by themselves, they've been to the title game like five times before they merged with Bridgewater Emory Ethan. Now, they've been to the finals the last 2 years, but they've lost in the championship game. But it's a team that likes to run the ball, and that's Jeff Van Leur. That's what he does great as the coach, longtime coach. And then on the other side with Winner, you got Dan Aker down there. Winner has been to the game. I'm trying to remember, 15 times now, 15, 16 times they've been in the title game. And they're kind of like Bridgewater, Emory, and they like to run the ball. I'm trying to figure out how many passes will be thrown in this game. Is it a plus five or what could it be? But two really good coaches who are great with their kids, fun programs. That will be a fun game. And it's the only matchup of the week that will be two undefeated teams.
Okay.
So that will be fun.
Bridgewater Emory Ethan defeated McCook Central Montrose by a pretty big mark, 42-0. So they're coming in off of that. Does that help a team, give them confidence, or does that give them a little false, you know, so when they're that on fire, do they come in with a higher expectation? Can they get shaken by an early, you know, is that a strategy? Shake them off that and make them doubt themselves?
The deal is when you, up to class 11A, there's a mercy rule, there's a running clock. After the score has reached a certain amount, 35 points in the second half, running clock, and then when it hits 50, a difference of 50, the game's over. Mm-hmm. Where in a lot of these with class 11B, with Bridgewater, Emory, Ethan, and Winter, maybe their players only played a half. They only played a half a game for a lot of their games. And so when they are expected to play a full game, then you're wondering, oh, what? How are they going to react to having to play a full game? And you'll certainly see that with BEE and Winter, that this is going to be a tight contest. It's going to be fun. But you're right that a lot of these schools, they are mercy ruled. And so their starters are not playing the second half. But now they will. They will this week.
All right. And then there's that AAA, the O'Gorman.
You got Sioux Falls O'Gorman and Brandon Valley. The Lynx are the defending champs. They were kind of, I'm not saying respected. They were kind of thought of, well, we don't know if they can get back to the championship game. Yes, because Roosevelt was really good. You know, Lincoln was up there at number two for a while. And even O'Gorman was going, oh, look what they're doing. But Brandon Valley just kept winning ball games. They played O'Gorman early in the season, and it was an easy win for Brandon Valley. But both teams have gotten much better, especially O'Gorman. They just have a lot of weapons on the offensive side. They got a quarterback that can throw to Norton, and they got a good another one, Pavelko, and they've got a running back with Wishard. It's an offense that you have to watch out, not only just with the run, but the pass. For Brandon Valley, you know, Skolton, their quarterback, had four touchdown passes in their semifinal win. But a lot of their game this year has been rushing their running back, Johnson. And we'll see if both teams, a lot of strategy, chess matches between the two. I do not expect it to be, I think it was 40-12, 40-17 the last time they met. I don't expect that at all on Friday night.
So Sioux Falls, Brandon Valley defeated Sioux Falls Washington, who was really coming off of that really great 3-year streak as a state championship. Where is Washington at right now? And you know, I'm biased. This is my brother played for Washington. My daughter went to Washington, so I've always got my eyes on the Warriors. They're coming back.
They were
back,
trying to get to the championship for the fifth year in a row.
Right.
But in high school, it is really tough, no matter what division, to play at that high level for a number of years together. I'll say 5 years in a row, because you don't know what your talent level will be, your senior class. Well, there is such an ebb and flow. There's a roller coaster ride of talent that comes to schools. It's pretty tough to be at that highest level. And what happened with Washington this year, they had a good senior class. They just didn't have the playmakers, and they played a lot of sophomores and juniors this year. They're going to be really good next year. And they gave Lincoln a run for their money in the semifinals, or in the quarterfinals. They stopped Lincoln. Their defense was really good. They stopped a good offense for Lincoln. But they just couldn't do the same thing the next week with Brandon Valley.
Yeah. Some of the star athletes in O'Gorman and Brandon Valley to watch for. Who do you think might be giving you some of those plays?
Well, for O'Gorman, look for Zach Norton. Look for Tate Wishard. Kent Pavelko, who also can kick field goals. And he's been big for O'Gorman in the playoffs. And on the Brandon Valley side, Thomas Skolton is your quarterback. And Tate Johnson is the big-time running back that he'll get the ball a lot, I think, on Friday.
All right. So much to look forward to. Anything else you want to make sure we cover about these upcoming state championships for high school football?
This will be fun up in Brookings. I know SDSU is looking forward to it, hosting and bringing a lot of people into a stadium that they probably haven't been to before, a 19,000-seat stadium. So hopefully there's a lot of people there this week.
A good year in sports for the city of Brookings, yeah.
Yes, it is. So
they can handle an event. They'll
be
fine.
They're excited.
Craig Maddock, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.